Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Ready for round two this week? Another Arctic blast arrives tonight. I'll show you when we could see single-digit wind chills.
One of the victims of a deadly shooting in Apex called 911 for help. We're live outside the police department where a news conference just wrapped up minutes ago.
And Durham police are investigating two shootings just minutes apart. One of the victims, an 8-year-old girl, where the investigation stands this noon. Multiple storms that brought snow and ice to much of the U.S. are now blamed for at least 55 deaths, and more brutal weather is on the way. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. Chicago is stuck in the teens. Minneapolis is frozen in single digits. Some New Yorkers are bracing for up to 3 more inches of snow, and that's on top of the 5 feet of snow they've gotten. Although, we're not expecting snow, obviously.
Right. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a preview of this weekend's bitter wind chills. It's going to be cold here.
So we did end up seeing the system move through this morning. It brought just a few isolated showers, and now it's moving on up into the northeast as snow. It's also snowing in the mountains. There's a winter weather advisory in effect there. The big impact for us is going to be the cold air that starts to push in later on tonight. Our temperatures are not bad right now. 54 Fayetteville, 53 Goldsboro, 43, though, in Roxboro, 41. In South Hill. So that's the colder air that's just starting to push in our northern counties. This is what it will look like overnight tonight into early tomorrow. We tend to see the coldest temperature of the day at around 7 a.m. So 19 in Durham, 14 Roxboro, 16 Lewisburg, 17 in Roanoke Rapids. We head to the south, 15 in Sanford, 19 Irwin, 22 in Fayetteville. Those will be our actual temperatures on Saturday morning, but we could feel as cold as 12 degrees. That's likely to be the wind chill in the morning at around 7 a.m. and on Sunday even worse at 6 degrees. We take a look at our hour-by-hour wind chill on Saturday. It stays cold feeling all day. We're going to see 25 for the wind chill during the afternoon. So it's going to be one of those stay-inside days if you can. The actual high Saturday, 35, and then we warm up slightly to 41 on Sunday. Would you believe in the same 7-day period in January that we could see highs in the 30s and almost in the 70s? Of course you do. It's North Carolina. I'll show you when coming up.
Within the last hour, we've learned new details about the shooting involving a former Army captain accused of killing two of his neighbors in Apex. That shooting happened Monday in the Southwalk Townhomes neighborhood. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live outside the Apex Police Department where a news conference just wrapped up. Matt?
Yeah, Jeff, the police chief and mayor spoke here for about 30 minutes, mainly calling for the community to come together and respect the privacy of the victims and that neighborhood there. We are told that the town plans to release the 911 calls this afternoon from that neighborhood, including a chilling phone call from one of the victims, one of those women who was shot and killed there. 37-year-old Harry Hardman is charged in connection with those murders of 37-year-old Gabriel Raymond and 69-year-old Nancy Taylor. We learned today that the first call to police actually came into a non-emergency line. That neighbor reported hearing Hardman screaming at the sky. He was holding a pull stick in his hand. Police say the caller saw Taylor then walk up to Hardman and talk with him before they went out of sight. But a few seconds later, that caller heard gunshots. Police Chief Jason Armstrong says they still don't know what actually led up to the shootings.
It all started with that initial call that we got of Mr. Hardman being outside, and his behavior out there is what prompted people to either call us or look outside to see what was going on. So we haven't uncovered anything. I've heard some of the rumors also about HOA issues and things. That's not anything that we've uncovered as a part of our investigation that would suggest it contributed to what happened out there that day.
The police chief addressed that HOA question because Taylor was head of the Southwalk HOA, and some neighbors told us that Hardman may have gotten into an argument with her about some issues in the neighborhood. He was taken into custody and arrested in the backyard. Police said he had an AR-15, and I did ask about that if they thought he intended to kill more people, and the police chief says he does believe that was the intent. We also did hear from both Taylor and Raymond's families. The chief read statements from both of them. They say that their families are grieving at this point. They are asking for privacy. Hardman is in jail, of course, right now. He is due back in court in Wake County on February 5th.
heartbreaking for those families. A lot of new information coming out of that. Matt, thanks for getting us up to speed on that. Taking out of Sanford, where deputies used Narcan to revive a woman who overdosed with two young children in the home. Deputies found Brianna Cheek inside a home on Farmstead Drive earlier this week. While performing life-saving measures, they noticed a large amount of powder along with drug paraphernalia. After getting a warrant, agents found over 200 grams of suspected fentanyl, marijuana, and cash. Cheek faces numerous drug charges as well as child abuse.
An 8-year-old girl is fighting for her life after two shootings in Durham. Police say it was less than 10 minutes apart last night. The other victim only has minor injuries. WREL's Monica Casey is at the crime scene on Liberty Street. Monica, a heartbreaking story. What happened there?
Well, this duplex and the area around it were peppered with bullets. You can see the cars right here were not spared. A bullet hole in the rear passenger door over here. Damage to this blue pickup truck with a bullet hole in the windshield. And then up on the home itself, you can see a bullet hole in the upstairs window. The family here didn't want to go on camera, but they tell me that is where that 8-year-old girl was injured. She is still in the hospital right now. 35 juveniles were shot last year in Durham. This 8-year-old girl is the first one this year. Now, this shooting happened just 7 minutes after another shooting in Durham last night. That one in the 900 block of Fayetteville Street. That's an area with a shopping center and a gas station. Police say that man who was shot had non-life-threatening injuries. Radio traffic says he was shot in the leg in two places. These two scenes are just about a mile apart. Police have not said yet if they are related to each other. No word yet on any arrests at this time. Michelle?
All right, Monica Casey live in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Some scary moments as well this morning, this time coming inside Research Triangle Park. Take a look at this press release coming in from the Durham County Sheriff's Office here in the last 30 minutes. The Sheriff's Office revealing this shooting happened near the intersection of T.W. Alexander Drive and East Cornwallis Road. You take a look at the map here. You can see that's just off of 885. That area is surrounded by labs here, including Troxler, Wolfspeed, many others there. According to the Sheriff's Office, right around 2:30 a.m., there was a car, three people inside driving here on T.W. Alexander. All of a sudden, somebody in another car started shooting at them. They crashed. The two people in the front, the driver and a passenger, had to be taken to the hospital. They are expected to recover. Now, as of this point, we do not have any word on any suspects or a description of the vehicle that those suspects are using. We'll keep checking in with the Durham County Sheriff's Office, bring you those details as we get them.
Thanks for that, Eric. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the offensive in the Gaza Strip will not stop until Israel has a, quote, decisive victory over Hamas. Netanyahu also dismissed the idea of a Palestinian state post-war, claiming it would impact Israel's security. The State Department says it has commitments from several Arab leaders in the region to help rebuild post-war Gaza.
At the end of that conflict, someone is going to have to rebuild Gaza. Someone is going to have to govern Gaza. Someone is going to have to provide security in Gaza.
More than 100 Israeli hostages remain in Hamas captivity. On Thursday, families rallied in Tel Aviv ahead of a war cabinet meeting, calling for an immediate deal to secure their loved ones' release. A Republican-led House committee has asked Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to testify about his decision to not notify leaders of his recent hospitalization. Austin has been asked to testify in person before that panel on February 14th. The Pentagon has been under scrutiny after failing to notify the White House or Congress that the secretary was hospitalized on New Year's Day. Austin was admitted to Walter Reed Military Medical Center after complications from a prostate cancer procedure in December.
Congress passed a short-term spending extension bill last night, successfully averting a government shutdown for now. President Biden is expected to sign it tonight. As Amy Kiley reports, lawmakers are focused on working together.
Nobody wants to vote for a CR. It's always going to be like that.
Maybe not, but a continuing resolution to fund the government is through Congress just in time to avoid a partial shutdown tonight.
My colleagues and I worked late into the evening.
Now, a stroke of the president's pen creates new funding deadlines of March 1st and 8th.
Is it enough time? We're months beyond the timeline.
Republicans are quick to reiterate their to-do list.
We should be getting closer to a final budget agreement.
We need to make certain that we stem the flow at the border.
To make sure that we don't bankrupt the greatest country in the history of humanity.
Lawmakers are showing signs they could cooperate on those issues. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Mike Johnson have some agreement on the budget. Leaders from both parties say they want to address the migrant crisis, and some Democrats argue controlling the national debt could help protect programs like Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
Social Security is on life support today.
But passing bills aimed at those issues requires bipartisanship.
For some, doing nothing is an option. To me, that is not an option.
I'm Amy Kiley reporting.
Next at noon, 20 years after being convicted of murdering his wife and unborn child, a major change coming to light in the Scott Peterson case.
Also, a Charlotte man charged with child pornography, the disturbing details of what he did on an American Airlines flight.
Plus, brand new information on the UNC professor shooting on campus, what federal documents reveal about the days leading up to the killing.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
A major twist in the Scott Peterson case. A nationally recognized nonprofit has taken up his case. The Southern California Innocence Project says the convicted killer may be innocent. Ian Cole spoke with a legal analyst who says this could be a bombshell.
New court documents show the Los Angeles Innocence Project is now representing Scott Peterson. Peterson was convicted in 2002 of murdering his wife Lacey and her unborn child. Her body was found in the bay months later. Peterson was given the death sentence, which was recently overturned and replaced with a sentence of life in prison without parole. This week, four motions were filed in San Mateo County Superior Court, including a motion for DNA testing, claiming new evidence now supports Mr. Peterson's long-standing claim of innocence. In the hundreds of pages submitted, there are new updated witness statements, and attorneys focus on three things: a burned-out van near the Peterson house around the time Lacey disappeared, the burglary at the house across the street, the Medinas, along with some evidence found on the shore of the bay.
If this evidence pans out, as the Innocence Project says, this could be a game changer.
Dean Johnson is a lawyer who has followed the trial since the beginning and says the heart of the new motion is a theory that Lacey Peterson was killed by burglars.
And if you find the same DNA on the items from the Medina burglary, from the van, and from the shore of San Francisco Bay, that's the storyline. The storyline is there was a burglary, Lacey was kidnapped by the burglars, put into a van, later killed, and her body was later put at the shore of San Francisco Bay.
Peterson's attorney, Pat Harris, wrote in a statement, "I will confirm that we are thrilled to have the incredibly skilled attorneys of the L.A. Innocence Project and their expertise becoming involved in the efforts to prove Scott's innocence." Dean Johnson says there are still major hurdles for this new legal action.
This is only potential evidence. The defense doesn't even have the evidence yet. They're requesting it. And they haven't done any DNA testing on it, so we don't know if there's any DNA on this evidence.
It was Ian Cole reporting. The Los Angeles Innocence Project declined to comment, and there's also no comment from Lacey Peterson's family.
A Charlotte man is charged with child pornography for allegedly filming children using the restroom on airplanes. Estes Thompson, the third, is a flight attendant for American Airlines, and according to court documents, Thompson used stickers to tape his phone to an open toilet lid right before a 14-year-old girl entered. But she caught on, took a picture of his concealed phone, and told her parents. This happened last fall on a flight from Charlotte to Boston. Authorities say they found four videos of kids using the bathroom on Thompson's iCloud account. Thompson could face 15 to 30 years in prison if convicted. And the U.S. Embassy in Bogota is urging travelers not to use dating apps in Colombia. The deaths of at least eight Americans traveling in Medellin possibly linked to the apps. Officials say they have seen an increase in reports of incidents involving criminals using online dating applications to lure victims for robbery by force or using sedatives to drug and rob individuals.
An Atlas Air cargo flight made an emergency landing late Thursday in Miami after an engine malfunctioned.
Oh my God, it's on fire. Oh my God. I'm sorry. It's on fire. Mom.
That is incredible video. Witnesses captured on the ground there. The video of sparks flying through the air over Miami shortly after 11 last night. The incident appears to have started about 3 minutes into the flight to Puerto Rico. The crew landed safely at Miami International Airport. The FAA says the plane is a Boeing 747-8. It's unclear if the sparks were caused by an issue with the plane or something external.
Today, the Federal Emergency Management Agency announced a number of measures to improve service to people after disasters. The agency says it wants to increase speed and cut the red tape for people and communities recovering from natural disasters. New measures include giving wider access to an immediate $750 per person impacted by extreme weather. And FEMA will also establish a new fund for where they stay, including friends and relatives' homes. The new rules will take effect March 22nd. And in a new wave of student loan forgiveness, the Biden administration is canceling $5 billion in debt. The president says 44,000 approved borrowers are having their education debt wiped clean after 10 years of public service. That includes teachers, nurses, and firefighters. Nearly 30,000 others have worked toward repayment for at least 20 years, but never got the relief they earned through income-driven repayment plans.
Japan's space agency says its unmanned spacecraft has landed on the moon. Engineers are checking its status right now. The Smart Lander for Investigating the Moon, SLIM for short, they call it. It's about the size of a passenger vehicle. Its technology promises far greater control than any previous moon landing. While most previous probes have used landing zones about 6 miles wide, SLIM is aiming at a target that's just a little bigger than a football field. The success of SLIM's pinpoint landing would raise Japan's profile in the global space technology race.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it just happened late this morning, touchdown, so they've got to get all their technology together to assess, is it okay there on the ground?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, well, back here on Earth, things feeling okay this afternoon. We have a couple clouds in the sky, but overall, pretty nice afternoon, Elizabeth.
Pretty comfortable compared to what we saw earlier in the week and compared to what we will see Saturday and Sunday. This is a live look at Apex. Just a couple of puffy cumulus clouds. It is going to be a dry weekend for us. It's all going to be about the temperature. There are plenty of people walking up and down Salem Street there in Apex, enjoying a little bit of sunshine. It's 52 degrees, which is very close to normal for this time of year. Our dew point has dropped down to 29, so the air mass is drying out after some clouds and sprinkles overnight last night. Our temperatures will drop quickly once we hit sunset, about 10 degrees by the time we get to 5 or 6 o'clock as our temperatures fall on into the 40s. It's already 43 in Roxborough and 41 in South Hill. That is our next batch of Arctic air that is starting to filter into our viewing area from the north. It's 54 in Fayetteville and 54 right now in Clinton. Big difference compared to yesterday from the Triangle area southward. It's 7 degrees warmer in Clinton and Goldsboro than it was this time yesterday, and 8 degrees warmer in Southern Pines. Notice there's not much change around Roxborough and South Hill. That's because we're already starting to see that chilly air approaching the Virginia line. 52 for our high temperature. That's where we are right now. Probably won't get much warmer than that this afternoon. 49 in Durham and 56 in Fayetteville under partly cloudy skies. Watching the wind out there, that wind is going to be picking up. The wind is steady on the left and gusting on the right. Winds are starting to come out of the north now. So we're gusting to 18 in Roxborough, 24 in Fayetteville, 17 in Clinton, 19 in Goldsboro, 25 in Rocky Mount. So it's getting pretty breezy out there. We'll see some gusts up to 25, maybe 30, maybe 35 miles per hour through the afternoon. And that's going to continue tonight and tomorrow. So that's why we're looking at that wind chill for Saturday and even again Sunday morning. Here's a look at where the coldest Arctic air is. That's going to come plummeting into our area for Saturday and Sunday. That dark purple color is where temperatures are well below normal. But it's not going to last. We get into the middle of next week and our temperatures climb above normal. It's kind of a crazy 7-day forecast, which we'll take a look at coming up in a second. Overnight tonight, 22 in Raleigh, 19 Roxborough, 19 South Hill, 23 Goldsboro, 20 in Southern Pines. But of course, the wind chill is going to be significant. We take a look at 32, 22 this morning or tomorrow morning is going to be 10 degrees below normal. Again, 18 Sunday, 19 Monday, and then our temperatures start to climb pretty quickly. Saturday's wind chill course, we're going to start potentially down around 11 or 12 degrees early Saturday morning, 7 or 8 a.m. And then into the afternoon, it will feel like 25 with the wind chill. So keep that in mind as you're making any outdoor plans on Saturday. Again, looking at 11 or 12 as the way it's going to feel Saturday morning. Sunday morning likely to be even worse, a low of 18, but a feels like temperature in the single digits. It's been a while since we've seen temperatures like that. So we're going to go from 35 on Saturday to almost 70 for the high on Thursday. We'll also have some rain to go along with it. I'll show you how our drought monitor looks for rain and for snow coming up.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, as the new year starts, plenty of people set new goals to get in shape, right? But what does that mean exactly? Today at 4, learn what a healthy weight is and why diet and exercise are not the only things to consider.
And would you eat seafood that was grown in a lab? Today at 5:30, we'll show you how a local startup is cultivating seafood that hasn't been exposed to chemicals in the water and answer the real question, how does it taste? And there was a time, of course, when kids couldn't wait until their 16th birthday so they could get their driver's license. Well, now it appears some Gen Zers are passing on that rite of passage. The reason why, straight ahead.
And new ultra-sensitive radar could change the landscape of automotive and home safety. How the device could help users monitor children or the elderly.
California could soon have a new city between Sacramento and San Francisco. A company called California Forever has purchased more than 78 square miles of farmland to build the city. The backers include LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman and philanthropist Lorraine Powell. And the Lorraine Powell Jobs, I should say, the widow of Apple co-founder Steve Jobs. That group is offering 10 guarantees to surrounding cities, like $400 million in funding for down payment assistance on new homes, funding for scholarships for college or to start, grow a small business, and funding as well for parks and green spaces there.
We have some serious concerns about transportation issues. I think with them as a partner, we can achieve transportation solutions a lot quicker than we would on our own.
Supporters want their initiative on the ballot for November, and they need 13,000 signatures to make that happen.
Pre-orders for Apple's Vision Pro start today, but the new device will be missing more than just Netflix at launch. Bloomberg reports that YouTube and Spotify are also steering clear. Neither will launch new apps for the Vision Pro, nor will they let their iPad apps work with the headset for now. YouTube recommends people use a web browser if they want to see content. The Vision Pro will have access to Apple's music and podcast apps as well. And Google is introducing a new way to search. The tech giant is launching a new feature called Circle to Search to help users find what they're looking for easier. Some Android users will be able to circle, tap, or highlight an item on their phone screen. A page will pop up showing them more information about that item. Google says the new feature will launch on 5 Android smartphones first.
Some Gen Zers are not exactly itching to get behind the wheel after they turn 16. A new study from the Federal Highway Administration found about a quarter of 16-year-olds and less than half of 17-year-olds have their licenses. The main reason is that some are looking for a sustainable option like public transportation or those electric scooters. Economists predict the lack of cars on the road could be devastating to the auto industry going forward.
Well, coming up, WRAL has obtained a report on the deadly shooting at UNC Chapel Hill this summer. We'll tell you what the suspected shooter did days before that rampage.
Plus, the New Hampshire primary is just 4 days away, and the candidates are ramping up their attacks. Why some say the outcome could make or break Nikki Haley's campaign. And here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
New federal documents are giving us a closer look at the investigation into the UNC student charged with shooting and killing his professor on campus in August. WRAL's Noah Klein has looked through those newly filed search warrants and is here now to explain what they show. Noah?
Jeff, a few key takeaways here. These documents are revealing more about the link between Tai Lei Chi, the suspect here, and Professor Zizhe Yen, who you'll recall was killed that day. These docs show Xi listed Yen as his emergency contact on paperwork at a local gun range. Range management there told investigators Chi visited that range on two separate occasions. Another key takeaway from these warrants, For the first time, we're learning Gee had gained access to another student's online portal. Court documents said a male student called the UNC help desk and tricked them into changing the student's account settings to allow for this new two-factor authentication. The person used the same phone number that was associated with that phone authorities found in Gee's possession when they arrested him. Gee has already admitted to this unauthorized access. Psychiatric evaluations recently showed Gee is unfit to stand trial. And important to note here, authorities have still not found that gun they believe Gee used in the shooting. Jeff?
Yeah, the psychiatric evaluation is what makes it so shocking that he had such a plan going on there. Noah Klein for us in studio. Thanks for that.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. Just in the last few minutes, we've learned a corrections officer has been suspended and an inmate injured after an incident in Franklin County. This is the update right here. This was sent in by WRAL's Destiny Patterson. She's digging into this story for us today. You can see the Franklin County Sheriff's Office confirming this happened on Monday. That corrections officer now suspended without pay. This is apparently the first complaint of use of force at this facility in at least 15 years, according to the Sheriff's Office. And that office saying that they hold their officers to a very high standard. We're still working to learn the extent of the inmates' injuries in this case, as well as what led up to this incident. We'll bring you those details as soon as we get them.
All right, Eric, thank you. For the third consecutive day, some families in Durham were forced to deal with school bus delays. Some drivers are striking over their salary. WRAL's Kelsey Coffey shares the message from the district to parents.
Right now, there are at least 10 buses that are sitting here in the depot. We're working to find out whether these buses are here as a result of the strike or if the buses are just sitting here for maintenance. But today marks the third day that the district is asking parents to find their children a ride to and from school. The strike is a result of recent salary changes across the district. More than 100 employees showed up to a meeting with administrators yesterday demanding answers about their pay. So here's the issue. Some staff members say they were given bonuses that have to be taken back because they were either overpaid or their raises were too high. Some employees say their salaries were affected by a policy change for years of service. They say now the district is only paying people for their years of service within the district, not in other places.
I was at 26 years of overall experience. I'm down to 2 years of experience. A man right here was at 44 years.
44 years, I dropped down to 7.
Bus drivers aren't the only employees who've been impacted by this. This salary change is impacting all classified employees across the school district. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Durham.
Also in the Bull City, just after midnight, Duke Energy crews restored heat and lights to the final customers in Durham. An equipment problem at a substation knocked out power during one of the coldest times of the year, and that forced drivers to navigate streets without functioning stoplights. Many people turned to warming centers and emergency shelters as well to escape their cold homes. Duke Energy crews were making upgrades to the area substation when they damaged it. That triggered the outage.
Former President Donald Trump says fellow contender Nikki Haley has no chance of winning the GOP nomination in 2024. Trump and Haley are both trying to attract independent voters, while the No Labels group alleges they're being blocked from the race. Rebecca Castor explains how the candidates are making a last push before next week's primary.
Former President Donald Trump is coming off a sweeping win in Iowa. But next week, his strength will be put to the test again in the New Hampshire primary.
The other candidates don't have a prayer.
I feel like he's the only one that is up for the task.
But Trump's former UN ambassador turned rival, Nikki Haley, is keeping him from running away with the nomination.
She's not going to make it. She has no chance. She's got no way. MAGA's not going to be with her.
Yet Haley's poll numbers are strong in New Hampshire, where independents can vote in the GOP primary.
What I'm telling you is, it's not personal with me and Donald Trump. This is about how do we save our country. I don't want my kids to live like this.
And Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis is still in the race. He finished ahead of Haley in Iowa, but is facing lackluster poll numbers in New Hampshire and is focusing on South Carolina.
Donald Trump is running for his issues. Nikki's running for the donors' issues. I'm running for your issues and your family's issues.
Democrats will also head to the polls on Tuesday, but their top candidate, Joe Biden, won't be on the ballot. The DNC wants South Carolina to be their first contest, but New Hampshire wouldn't change its voting calendar. Voters are encouraged to write in Biden's name, but a good showing by any other Democrat on the ballot could send a message.
It's artificial. I'm sick of coronations instead of competitions, certainly on my side of the aisle right now.
That was Rebecca Castor reporting. No matter what Democratic voters decide, the state's delegates will not be bound to vote by the primary results.
Here at home, ballots are now going out to more than 5,000 voters who requested to vote by mail this year. State Elections Director Karen Brinson-Bell says the biggest issue facing voters this year is new voter ID rules. Voter photo identification officially started in last year's municipal elections, but the 2024 presidential election is going to be most people's first experience with it. Officials hope to educate the public on the new rules to help this year's elections go as smoothly as possible. And for more information on the upcoming election and the new voter ID rules, you can visit WREL.com.
Coming up, artificial intelligence could change the landscape of automotive and home safety. We'll tell you about a new ultra-sensitive radar.
And reducing a child's anxiety and depression with one simple method, what doctors say could be beneficial. And if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WREL News app.
A new ultra-sensitive radar could change the landscape of automotive and home safety.
Yeah, the AI radar can not only detect objects, but movement on the surface of those objects. Eden Brown explains.
Artificial intelligence is finding its way into more corners of your life, but AI only works if it can get reliable input.
An AI algorithm, if you give it garbage, you're going to get out garbage, but if you give it good data, then you can really make the AI algorithms powerful.
Meaning it needs to be able to see, especially if we're going to use it to ensure safety. To do that, one company is turning to an older technology, radar. Asahi Kasei Microdevices reveals a high-resolution radar using 60 gigahertz millimeter wave that it says turns AI into a babysitter.
You have so much accuracy that you can detect the movement of the surface of that object. So what that allows for is to differentiate between a living object and a non-living object.
This new radar gives AI the ability to wirelessly detect children left behind in cars within seconds. It can also tell you if your newborn crawls under a blanket or if they stop breathing. It's signaling a shift in how AI is used. The same radar input can monitor vital signs or behavioral changes indicating health issues. It can even be used in elder care, providing a way to monitor seniors without invasive cameras.
It does, you know, basically take the next step where you can monitor things like vitals and falling and, you know, all kinds of things without invading on anyone's privacy.
That was Eben Brown reporting. The market for this kind of radar tech was worth about $4 billion last year. It's expected to shoot up by $38 billion by the year 2030.
It's on the way, right?
Yeah.
People take multivitamins to improve their physical health. A new study says it might do even more than that. Why some doctors recommend everyone take a daily multivitamin for their mental health.
And it's an easy skill that can offer huge benefits. One psychologist say parents should consider practicing mindfulness with children. Welcome back. It is 12:43 on your Friday afternoon. A beautiful look at Goldsboro. That's where you're looking live. You're watching WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
Millions of Americans take multivitamins, and now there is evidence they can have a very real effect on your memory. NBC's Stephanie Gosk shares the findings of a new study.
A healthy diet is good for the body and also good for the mind, and multivitamins could play an important role.
It's biologically plausible because we know that nutrition is so important for optimal brain health.
A new study directed by Mass General Brigham found that participants taking multivitamins daily prevented memory loss and slowed down the process of cognitive aging by the equivalent of 2 years compared to a placebo group.
We found the strongest benefit for memory in slowing of age-related memory loss.
1 in 9 adults say they have experienced confusion or memory loss, according to the CDC. By 2060, the number of people age 65 and older with Alzheimer's is projected to reach nearly 14 million.
When we talk about Alzheimer's disease and other related dementia, that's not normal aging, and those diseases are fatal. It's really important that we think about strategies for prevention. We think about strategies such as engaging in healthy lifestyles to keep our brain as healthy as we can, as long as we can.
The researchers who conducted the multivitamin study are encouraged by the findings because it is a cheap and easily accessible option for most people. But they caution that the supplements are not a substitute for good nutrition.
But people should still eat their spinach.
Absolutely. We are saying that multivitamins, dietary supplements, will never be a substitute for a healthy diet, healthy lifestyle, regular physical activity, and everything like that. That is really key.
The best time to take action, doctors say, is before cognitive decline begins.
Well, Stephanie Gost reporting, and the study doesn't issue any guidelines on usage, but doctors emphasize, as you heard there, there are proactive steps people can take to slow cognitive decline, and a healthy diet is a good place to start.
I'm Eric Miller in the WRAL Live Center. A bombshell in the world of sports dropping right here the last few minutes. The Washington Post reporting that Sports Illustrated will lay off most of its staff, potentially threatening that iconic brand's future. You can see here this cut potentially affecting all remaining writers and editors who received layoff notices Friday. This news coming from a tweet posted by the union that represents many of those writers and editors there, the Sports Illustrated Union. This union saying they're committed to trying to ensure the magazine's future, but aren't sure if they're going to be able to make that work with the current owners, Authentic Brands Group. A developing story, a devastating story for people who have read this magazine for decades. Stay on top of it. Bring you updates as we get them.
Absolutely. That's huge news. Thanks, Eric. Well, if your child tends to experience feelings of stress or anxiety, you may want to consider teaching them about mindfulness. It's an easy skill to adopt and offers so many benefits. Psychologists say studies have shown how practicing mindfulness can help improve a child's well-being, like reducing symptoms of anxiety and depression. Mindfulness also has been found to improve their attention in school, emotional regulation, and reduce conflict with peers.
Mindfulness is a simple concept of just being in the here and now and thinking about what's happening in the present moment, not worrying about the past or the future. And for talking to children, I often say it's as simple as thinking about one thing at a time that's in front of you.
Yeah, that's good advice. Mindfulness methods can differ based on age, though. For little kids, you can teach them how to focus on their breathing. And for older kids, they can try a method that uses all five of their senses. Experts suggest that it's best to talk to your child about mindfulness when they're not upset, so they can process what you're saying. They can actually hear you. They're listening to you. They're understanding you. So those are some good tips.
If you can catch them at those moments.
If you can catch them in those moments,
get your point across, absolutely. We're very mindful of how cold it's going to be this weekend.
Oh, yes.
And Elizabeth Gardner over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. That'll come with some wind chills as well. I see some wind out there.
Yeah, this camera here in Fayetteville is really shaking. The temperature in Fayetteville feels pretty mild right now, but those temperatures will plummet overnight tonight, and the winds will continue. So we're looking at a pretty extreme wind chill both Saturday and even Sunday morning. Here's a live look at what's happening here on the satellite and radar view. You can loop this, and you can see some snow falling in the mountains. We're not going to see any of that here. We'll see a few clouds as that disturbance swings on by us, but it's not going to bring us any precipitation. What it will help to do is to push that colder air in. So tomorrow morning, this is a look at the wind chill. It could feel like 11 or 12 between 6 and 8 a.m. By the time we get to lunchtime, it'll feel like 22, and then it feels like 25 through the afternoon. We'll see lots of sunshine, but it will be breezy and feeling very cold for us on Saturday. It'll potentially, again, as I mentioned, feel like 11 or 12. Sunday, same story. We'll see a low of 18, but it could feel as cold as 6 degrees, so just be ready for that. We'll continue to have the potential for some snow in the mountains for the next few hours and then into tonight. And you can see there's a winter weather advisory in effect for the mountains of North Carolina. It's a Friday, so I know people may be traveling. It might be a fun weekend to hit the slopes, but it's going to be very cold. The temperatures will be in the teens in the mountains for at least Saturday, and a little bit warmer on Sunday. If you're planning to head up to D.C., there's been some snow there as well if you're planning to drive. Of course, we haven't had any snow yet this year. It's not just this year. 720 days since we had measurable snow at RDU. The last time we had almost half an inch of snow was January 29th, 2022. It's been a long time. This is what our snowfall averages look like. We even average a half an inch in December. We average almost 3 inches in January. By far, January brings us our best chance of snow statistically in our area. And then a little over an inch and a half in February. February, back down to an inch in March. Those are the averages for the last 30 years. We take a look at our drought status. Of course, the rain that we've seen so far this winter has wiped out the drought almost everywhere in the entire state, minus parts of the mountains where they're abnormally dry. We do have a dry 5 days ahead, but that will change as we get into next week. We're going to go from 35 Saturday and 41 on Sunday with these very cold mornings and these bitter wind chills to close to normal temperatures on Monday with some sunshine and then above normal. So we're going to swing it right back in the other direction. Nearly 60 on Tuesday, 65 Wednesday, 69 on Thursday. Right now we're looking at some scattered showers for both of those days, but much, much different feel. So a warmer and wetter pattern versus this dry, cold and breezy pattern that we have for this weekend.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. Okay, Jeff, it's time to put an age-old debate to rest. Who is better at navigating directions, men or women?
This sounds like a setup.
It might be.
Can I have the break to think about it?
You can.
While researchers put that question to the test as well, maybe I'll get some backup. What they say makes some people better than others when it comes to finding a destination. As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Within the last hour, we learned new details about the shooting involving a former Army captain accused of killing two of his neighbors in Apex. The police chief says several calls were made to 911, including one from the phone belonging to Gabrielle Raymond. She's one of the two women who died. Raymond did not speak with the dispatcher, but gunshots and screaming could be heard. The chief says investigators are still not sure what led to the shooting earlier this week.
And an 8-year-old girl is fighting for her life after two shootings in Durham. And police say that happened less than 10 minutes apart last night. 35 juveniles were shot in Durham last year. She is the first this year. The shooting happened just 7 minutes after another one in the 900 block of Fayetteville Street. That's an area with a shopping center and gas station. Police say a man had non-life-threatening injuries.
Just after midnight, Duke Energy crews restored heat and lights to the final customers who were out in Durham. An equipment problem at a substation knocked out that power during one of the coldest times of the year. That forced drivers to navigate streets without functioning stoplights. Duke Energy crews were making upgrades to the area's substation when they damaged it, and that's what triggered the outage.
A calf is back with a herd after wandering into a frozen pond. A cowboy in Arkansas says that he knew what he had to do once his neighbor contacted him. He grabbed a rope, he drove out to the pond, roped the calf, and dragged it right back onto the grass. Although he made the rescue look utterly simple, he actually had to try a couple times. The calf's owner says he's lost 5 this year because the animals don't realize the ice is melting. The neighbor says he's just a call away if he needs him again.
Goodness, I'm glad he saved that one.
Yeah.
A new study attempts to navigate who is better at using directions to find a location. A study at the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana says men tend to have better skills in working navigation. It has nothing to do with intelligence or biological advantages. The study says it has more to do with cultural and societal influence. Previous studies found no significant correlation between sex, travel range, and spatial navigation skills.
Okay, fine. You can have that one.
But kids get outside and play more. Boys, I think, and this was part of the study as well. So don't take me down for that. They get out, run around. They just find their way back.
We won't take you down.
That kind of thing. No.
Okay. Our pet of the day survived neglect and abuse and is now looking for a fresh start. Look at this girl. Nala is an approximately 5-year-old spayed female dog weighing 33 pounds. She was rescued after someone saw some dogs tied up outside on 1 foot long chains with no food or water. Despite her difficult past, Nala is a forgiving soul with a soft spot for head rubs. She needs a patient family who can help with her transition. And for more information, you can visit spcawake.org. Very sweet.
We just weaved our way through that whole hour, no problem.
We did.
Found ourselves right where we belong.
Yeah. NBC News Daily is coming up next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.